We are going to be in Matthew 7 tonight, Matthew chapter 7. We are going to be looking at another parable, or parabolic language, if you want to say it that way, from Jesus, as he taught many times in parables. And we learn so much from them. And it is our human nature, it's human nature in general, to want to judge one another. We want to compare ourselves to one another, and we want to be the best, or at least we don't want to be the worst. We want to say, well, at least there's someone worse than I am, or at least there's someone that doesn't do as well as I do. We're all susceptible to the temptation to compare and judge. It's just natural. In some cases, we compare, and we seem to find that we are not as popular, or not as successful, or not as organized. And we become insecure, we become jealous, and we say, oh, I wish I were more like them. We're comparing ourselves. They were able to buy this. They were able to take a big vacation. They just got promoted. Their family seems happier than ours. And we look at somebody else and we say, oh, I wish I had it like they did. Or maybe we compare ourselves with others and look with a judgmental eye. We might see them doing things that we might not do, and we may look down on them for that. You know, we're better than them because we don't do that, or we don't do this, or we do this. And these types of attitudes are a great danger in today's world. It has always been a danger. There's always been that problem, and as we see in Matthew 7 that we'll be looking at tonight, and as we see as Jesus went through and dealt with the Pharisees, this is a problem throughout history. But in today's world, it seems like it's even worse. With all the social media out there and all the different things where people can post things about themselves, and sometimes it can get into this this, I don't know what you want to call it, there's some type of fight of comparisons. And Facebook, I'm not a part of it, but you know, I've heard reviews, and I've seen, you know, my wife's part of it, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with Facebook, but Facebook can be a festering pool of these types of attitudes. Oh, reading everybody else's posts. Oh, I wish I could be like that. Oh, I wish I'd be like this, or be able to do this. Or we might see someone and say, oh, they're not as good as we are. Look at this. And it can really foster these types of attitudes, when we're really, all we're doing is looking at someone else, and we're really comparing ourselves. And we have to guard ourselves. We have to be very careful as Christians to guard ourselves from these types of attitudes, unhealthy attitudes about others. And we know that this is a problem. This is something that Christ talks about. This is something that the writers of Scripture talk about. So the question is, do we judge or do we not? As you see in the bulletin for tonight, it says, to judge or not to judge. And we're going to be looking at some teaching from Jesus this evening that will help us understand our responsibility when it comes to judging, when it comes to this type of truth. And Jesus here in Matthew 7 is nearing the end of his Sermon on the Mount. And he's been going through a lot of different kingdom righteousness and different moral attributes that need to be seen. And he's wrapping up some of his final thoughts. And here at the end, he deals with this area of judging and gives us a parable on the issue. So let's read through this real quick. Then we'll pray and get into our outline this evening. Jesus says here, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Let's bow in prayer as we begin tonight. Lord, we are so thankful for the teaching that we find in Scripture. We thank you for this teaching that we find on judging and on helping one another. Lord, I pray that we would be challenged by this and that we would take the right attitude when we see those around us with struggles in their life and instead of in that judgmental way, that we would desire to help them. And Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding from this scripture and that we might be able to learn more from it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have 3 points tonight. One is going to be the danger of judging. That's going to be verses 1-4. Then we're going to look at the proper way to judge in verse 5. And then we'll see in verse number 6, the need to judge. But first of all, we're going to be looking at the danger of judging. And here he gives a warning. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. He comes out straight away and says it, do not judge. The command is to not judge. Now, Jesus in this passage is not forbidding all judging of any kind. We as wise Christians have to be wise judges. We have to be discerning. And we have to judge the rightness of things. So judging in and of itself is not a bad thing. This passage is found toward the end, as we said before, toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, we find many moral discussions, many moral distinctions drawn throughout the Sermon on the Mount, saying this is what you should be like, these are the things that you should do. And that requires judgment, decisive judgment. I should do this, I shouldn't do that, and we have to judge these things, and therefore that requires judgment. Starting in verse 15 here in chapter 7, Jesus warns them about who? False prophets. Look there in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Well, how are we supposed to know who the false prophets are if we don't judge? You know, they don't come out and say, I'm a false prophet, and therefore I'm going to teach you. No, they teach, and we have to judge what they're teaching. And then when we judge what they're teaching, we can say, that's a false prophet, or that is someone we should listen to. So, we have to judge. We have to discern in our life. And I'm just going to give you a few different passages of Scripture that throughout Scripture it does tell us to judge. John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Says right there, to judge. Galatians 1 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which have preached unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, say now, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So what was Paul telling them? He says, you need to judge every single person that you hear preach the word of God. And if they preach a different gospel than what you have heard from us, that is wrong. They're a false prophet. So he's telling them, you need to judge. And I would say the same thing. If you hear someone preaching something other than the word of God, they need to be discerned, judged, and to be forgotten and not listened to. Philippians 3:2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. It's again, how are you going to tell out who the dogs are? How are you going to tell who the evil workers are? By judging. By discerning, by saying, okay, this is this person, this is that person. So all of these passages, and we could have gone to a whole bunch more, but all of these passages demand that we do some type of judging. And to be a proper Christian, to walk in the proper way, to understand what God wants us to understand, we need to be able to judge. We need to be able to discern the teachings and the people in this world, or we will end up believing everything we hear. Now imagine, just think of it, and you know, you've heard other preachers, you've seen books that preach from a somewhat Christian worldview, not necessarily, but if we were to listen to and believe everything that every pastor or so-called Christian taught, imagine that, if every person that called themselves a pastor, and every church that considered themselves Christian, if we listened to everything that they said and believed everything that they said, what would we end up like? We would be a floundering mess. We wouldn't know what to believe. We wouldn't know what to understand. We'd say, oh, this person says this. Oh, this person says this. They all sound so right. We need to discern. We need to judge. We would have no direction and no ability to tell what was true and what was not. As a Christian, we are demanded to judge. Well, we have a pretty clear command here. Here's Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, judge not, that ye be not judged. So what is this talking about? Jesus, time and again, as you go through the Gospels, over and over again, he has run in after run in with these Pharisees. And these Pharisees were, and it was no doubt these people that Jesus had in mind when he taught in this sermon that they were not to judge. So many times he has dealt with the Pharisees, and these Pharisees were what? When you think of a Pharisee, you think of someone that's judging someone else. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not like them. The Pharisees were so famous for their judgmental attitude. They would look on others. They would say, oh, I'm glad I'm not like them. They would pray out loud. Oh, Lord, thank God I'm not like this person. And Pharisees were so looking at other people and saying, oh, that's the wrong person. I'm right. That person's wrong. That person's wrong. They'd point it out to everybody. Those people are wrong. Whereas they would let themselves get puffed up. And where we may not pray out loud like the Pharisees, this type of attitude can rear its ugly head in every Christian if we are not careful. If we're not careful, that same attitude, maybe not to that same extent or that same degree, but that same attitude can come up very quickly. That attitude of, oh, I'm glad I'm not like that person. Oh, they're in for it when they get to the end times, you know. That is an attitude that can rear itself up. We get looking at other people, we see their faults, but yet we don't notice our own. And we tear people apart. Stott says it this way, the censorious critic, big word there, the censorious critic is a fault finder who is negative and destructive towards other people. He enjoys actively seeking out their failings. He puts the worst possible construction on their motives. He pours cold water on their schemes and is ungenerous toward their mistakes. And I know I can look back at my life and see times when I had this attitude, when I've looked at people and tried to think of their motives and try to put the worst possible spin on it. And I say that ashamed of that attitude. And this is an attitude that should be banished from our lives. Trying to look at other people and say, oh, what are they doing wrong? Because we know we're doing something wrong in our life, or we know that something's not right, so we try to look at other Christians and say, there's got to be something wrong with their life. And when we find something wrong, it's almost as though we say, yes, they're not right either. Yes, they've got something wrong in their life. We hear of a downfall, and we rejoice over it, because that is such a natural attitude in many ways to our sinful nature. And so as he says, judge not, he's not saying don't be discerning. He's not saying don't judge the rightness of messages. He's not saying those kind of things. He's saying don't be the censorious critic. Don't judge other people. Stand on your high horse and sit on your high horse and say, oh, you're wrong, and look for wrong in people and pour, like it says, cold water on their schemes and be ungenerous. Because the consequence of this judgment and this attitude is to be judged. That's what he says here. Judge not so that you will not be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Saying, so he's basically saying, however you judge someone else, you're going to be judged. However you measure them and hold them up to your standard, you're going to be measured in that same way. And this type of warning is found many times in Scripture. Once again, let me read just a few different passages to you. Romans 2. It says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. He's saying you're judging another, but you're condemning yourself. Romans 14 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4. He says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Judge nothing before the time, he says. 1 Corinthians 11. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And Christ later on in Matthew 18 uses the parable of the servant. And we are, most of us, very familiar with this parable, where he tells of the servant that owed his master 10,000 talents. And he was calling that debt out, and the servant says, oh, I don't have the money. Please, please, master, have mercy on me. Forgive me. And this master says, all right, I will forgive you. I have mercy on you. And he let him go. And that same servant went out, found someone that owed him 100 pence, just a small fraction of what he owed his master. And he took that person and demanded that money. He says, I need that money. And that person begged him for forgiveness. He said, no, I want it from you. And he did not show mercy. And what happened? No mercy was shown to him after that. Once the master found out what his servant had done, he says, I'm not going to show that person mercy. That person was not willing to show mercy to someone else. Why would I show mercy to that person? In that same way, when we are dealing with others and we deal with that judgmental attitude, when we do that, we are bringing judgment upon ourselves. Christ showed us great mercy. Great mercy as he gave himself on the cross. And he wants us to show great mercy to those around us and show great love. And we are not being merciful when we're sitting in that censorious judgment over people, when we are condemning them, when we're judging them like the Pharisees. I really like this quote that Stott gives to sum it all up. He says, to sum up, these two verses at least. He says, to sum up, the command to judge not is not a requirement to be blind, which is kind of what we talked about. If we walk around this world not judging anything, we're just walking around blind and accepting everything around us. Stott says it's not a command or a requirement to be blind, but rather a plea to be generous. Jesus does not tell us to cease to be men, which is what would happen by suspending our critical powers, which help distinguish us from animals. So he's, don't stop being a man who is able to go and discern and judge and tell one good thing from another. But this command to judge not is a renouncement of the presumptuous ambition to be God by setting ourselves up as judges. So when you hear judge not, don't cease being a discerning Christian. Cease to being trying to be God in someone else's life and say, oh, you know, you're wrong and censorious in that way. And so after the command he gives here, then he gives an example or a parable to illustrate what he is talking about. And this is a graphic, colorful hyperbole. Here, as you see, in verses 3 and 4, he says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? This is one of those ridiculous, and I'm not saying ridiculous as far as the scripture, but Christ is painting a hyperbole, a ridiculous picture to really explain or to illustrate what he's talking about here. He paints this colorful, graphic hyperbole that describes the situation of someone that is practicing this wrong type of judgmental attitude. One person here is described as having a mote or a small sliver in their eye. And that would obviously be painful. It's not good to be there, but just a small sliver is there in the eye. And another person is describing as having a beam, which is something like a 2x4, if you want to say it that way, in their eye. That would not be very good. And the person having this 2x4 in their eye, sticking out of their head, is somehow able to see this small little sliver in the other person's eye, and while not even noticing the 2x4 in their own eye. And this situation is ridiculous. It's humorous. The thought of something like this happening makes us laugh. And as I've thought about this in the past, and as I was thinking about it this week, for some reason, and I know I'm going to place this thought in your own head, if you at least, I might be dating myself a little bit, but for some reason as I think about this, the only thing I can think about, and they didn't ever do a skit like this, but all I can think about is Tim Conway and Don Knotts doing a skit like this. I don't know why, I can just see Tim Conway with a 2x4 sticking out of his head, trying to get the little speck out of Don Knotts' eyes. I don't know. It just, because it's supposed to be humorous, this picture that Christ is painting, it's supposed to be humorous. And it is humorous, thinking of something like this happening. Here's someone with that should not be able to see a thing because of this 2x4, somehow sees this small speck in someone else's eye, never once noticing that they have a 2x4 sticking out of their head. And so when someone is practicing this judgmental attitude like was described in the previous point, they have a beam sticking out of their eye. Even if they have dealt with every other sin in their life, if they have this attitude, this judgmental attitude, that's the beam right there. That's all that's necessary for the beam. Just to have that judgmental attitude, they've got a problem that they have to deal with before they ever deal with someone else. And it's not until we get rid of this beam, this judgmental attitude, then we can actually begin to help our brothers and sisters with their splinter. And that is the point and the purpose of judging in this context. When we see a speck in someone else's eye, we should want to help. We should. We should say, you know what? That speck is there. And you know what? That's causing pain in their Christian life. And that is something that shouldn't be there. I know when I get just the smallest little thing in my eye, you know, it just drives me nuts. And I'm sitting there trying to get it out. It shouldn't be there. That's what our eyelids are for. That's what these things are, and the water coming out. It's there to keep things out of our eye. Imagine having a splinter in your eye. The pain there. And if we saw someone with a splinter, even something small in their eye, we'd say, hey, you've got something in your eye. Let me help you out. Let me help you get it out. And so we should want to see our brothers and sisters restored to a proper relationship, to remove that speck from their eye. But there is a proper way to judge. So we see there is a danger in judging. If we have the wrong attitude, we are bringing upon judgment, we're bringing judgment upon ourselves. And there's a danger there. There is a warning there. Don't do it in that attitude. Don't do it in the wrong way, or you're bringing judgment upon yourself. You're being like this person with a beam sticking out of his eye. But there is a proper way to judge. And that's what he deals with in the fifth verse. First of all, he says, don't be a hypocrite. He says, thou hypocrite. As he says, judge not there at the beginning, verse 1, what he's saying is stop judging. He's not saying in the future or be careful of this possibility that you'll be judging. No, he's saying stop judging is what he's telling them. So here in verse 5, he says, you hypocrite. Saying, when you're doing this type of thing, you're being a hypocrite. He says, you're not acting like a hypocrite, you're being a hypocrite. If you're going about, and if you're going to go about the task of helping a brother and sister in Christ, then you better make sure that you are setting in judgment of yourself, of your own life, before you make any judgments of theirs. That is the key here. So what do we have to do? Judge ourselves. It says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. That is the key right there. Get that beam out of your own eye. And how do they do that? They go by judging themselves. As you look there in verse 4, he says, or verse 3, he says, you're looking, you're beholding You're watching the speck in someone else's eye, the sliver in someone else's eye, and never once have you even noticed the beam sticking out of your head. So here was someone that all they thought about was someone else and how they were wrong. Let's look at other people. Let's look at other people and see how they're wrong. Let's see how I can judge them. But never once did they look into their own life. Obviously, all it would take was a simple look in a mirror, at the reflection, or just a short little introspection of their life just to see, oh, I've got something wrong with myself. But never once were they looking at themselves. They were always looking at others. So as we go about this task of helping one another, the very first thing we have to do is judge ourselves. We have to go to ourselves. Don't be easy on ourselves. We have to investigate our life. We have to look into it. We have this natural inclination as humans, and this is as old as time, to exaggerate the shortcomings of others and ignoring our own. Say, well, I'm not quite that bad. And we exaggerate how they are, and we make judgments on their motivations and what's behind it. We say they're doing wrong. I guess I'm not doing exactly right, but I have the right attitude. And we're easy on ourselves. That is the problem there. We need to judge ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and say, all right, I need to make sure my attitudes are right. I need to make sure my actions are right. I need to make sure that my life is right. Removing that beam from your eye, removing those things so that you can see. Now you can see. And now we can help others. As it says there in verse 5, remove the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And once again, this is when you look at the general sense of judging. This is part of judging. The general sense. The wrong sense, or the censorious judgment that we were talking about earlier, that's the, all I'm doing is looking at you. The correct judgment, the discernment, that's what we need. When we look at one another, we might see, you know what? I see something in their life. I'm discerning something in their life that shouldn't be there. And as a Christian brother, as a fellow believer, I want to see that removed from their eye. So let me look into my own life. Let me judge myself. Let me make sure that I am right. And then I can go to them and I can help them in their own life. So once we have judged ourselves, once we have investigated our own lives, and we've cast out any beam, it is then that we are ready to help our fellow believers. And it is only then that we are able to see clearly enough, that we will truly be able to see how we can help one another. The ridiculous picture there of someone with a beam sticking out of their head. How are they supposed to be able to see anything with a beam sticking out of their eye? But yet they're able to look at other people. In the same way, they don't have good vision. They don't have good insight on other people when their eyesight is blocked by this beam. The same way in when we help others, if we have that judgment attitude, it is going to block our eyesight. We are not going to have good insight. We're not going to have good discernment on other people. And it's only when we are able to remove that beam, remove those things from our eye, that is when we can help one another. And that's what we're supposed to do. Like I said, this is a type of judgment, but not that first judgment. This is a believer noticing something in another believer's life, coming alongside them, helping them cast that splinter out of their eye. And then we find in verse number 6 the need to judge. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Here we need to judge who we are dealing with. Here in this verse, Jesus uses some more parabolic language and gives two mini parables, if you want to say it in that way. One picture here is of someone throwing something of great value, something that is holy, to a dog. That's the first one there, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And the very last part is dealing with that same thing, and turn again and rend you. And so, you know, we can't think about dogs as we think about them in today's world. We think mostly of domesticated, nice animals. That's, you know, usually that's what we have. I was able to go over to the Mapsons this week to visit him and be in prayer for him. He's Lauren is struggling with shingles right now, and so just be in prayer for him as he goes through that. But I went over and was able to sit with him for a while. And they have a dog. I don't know if you've been to their house, Sparky. I think he's a black lab, beautiful dog, you know. And he was sitting there in the entryway as we talked. And we had kind of and I noticed in the entryway, that's a hard surface floor, and then we were sitting in an area where it was carpeted. And I noticed in between the two areas, there was a green yardstick. I said, I don't know what that was there for, just sitting on the floor. And so I noticed the dog just stayed over there, and so we had a little lull on the conversation, and so I kind of turned my attention to the dog, and I was about to call. He's like, and Lauren said, he's not allowed in here. I was like, oh, well, how do you keep him over there? He's like, he's not allowed over that green yardstick. And he stays there? He's like, yep. And he says, sometimes he pushes the yardstick so he can go a little bit further in. But that is a well-behaved, nice dog. You know, as I pulled up, I was a little nervous. It was kind of muddy out there, and I was worried he was going to jump up on me, but he never once got off the ground. It's a very nice, well-behaved animal. So sometimes when we think of dogs, we think of a dog like this. Well-behaved, domesticated, you know, just a fun family pet. But in Scripture, dogs are not usually nice. Mostly they're wild. They are associated with what is unclean and despised, and they're not very kind. And this dog that it's talking about here is given something that is holy, something that is well treasured. And what happens? That dog is not pleased with that thing, and they turn and rend and bite and tear into the person that gave it to them. So there is someone that gives them something precious, something great, and that dog just turns and bites them and rends him. And then the other picture is here of a pig and throwing pearls to the swine. And once again, in kind of the same way, these pigs are not that we have many domesticated pigs, but in this time it was a very dirty, violent animals, and do not appreciate the value of a pearl. They would more get angry. They'd say, "I don't want this pearl. I want food. I want a scrap, a morsel, something that would give me just a little bit, just to satiate my hunger for just a little while." And they would much rather have that morsel of food than this precious jewel. And so as we deal with people on a daily basis, we are no doubt going to deal with some people that are acting like these dogs and acting like these pigs. Now, Jesus is not calling all unsaved people dogs and pigs. He's pointing to a certain attitude. He's pointing to an attitude. And I don't know all of your testimonies here, but maybe at one time in your life before you were a Christian, you displayed this type of attitude. This type of attitude of this dog or something of great value was given to you, and you said no, and you attacked the person that gave it to you. And obviously I'm talking in the realm of spiritual things. Or someone were to give you a pearl of Scripture, a pearl from the Gospel, and you said, I'd rather have something that would satiate my worldly hungers, and you trample it under feet and say, I don't want to hear about this. You don't want to hear about salvation. You didn't want to hear about Jesus. You just wanted to satisfy your worldly hunger. Now, this is not a directive against evangelization. It's not saying never share the gospel with those that are against it. But some people need to come to a point where they are no longer displaying attitudes like these pigs and these dogs. Some situation might have to come up in their life that will bring them low to the point where they're searching. I'll bring up the prayer request that I brought up on Wednesday with David Flink, our missionary down in Chile. And I gave the wrong name this Wednesday. I gave the name Roberto, but it's Gustavo was his name. And before this situation with his girlfriend, as I mentioned on this Wednesday, this young man is having a situation with his girlfriend. He is a family member of one of the people in the church that is being planted there in Chile. And David has not had a lot of opportunities or a lot of, I don't know if I want to use the word success, but he has not been very receptive to the gospel and to spiritual things. He's been, if you want to say, maybe like a dog, maybe like a pig that we're talking about here. Saying, no, I don't want it. Even though these are great, valuable, precious things. He says, no. But, and David, you know, didn't have the opportunity. It didn't have the ability to change his attitude. But circumstances here have brought him to the point now with the situation with his girlfriend, where circumstances have brought him to the point where he is looking. He's been brought low. And now he's receptive. Now that attitude of that dog and that pig, they're gone. And he's looking. And that is a great thing. It's similar to Proverbs 9:8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. And this is where judgment is needed as we deal with people on a daily basis. So what type of judgment are we practicing today? Are we practicing the type of judgment that was so prevalent with the Pharisees? Are we looking at others? Are we comparing? Are we looking down? Do we have a beam sticking out of our eye as we try to find a sliver in their eye? Let's be cautious. Let's be guarding ourselves against that type of attitude. Or have we forgotten our fellow Christians? Are we not even trying to help them? Let's have the judgment like it's talked about here, where it says, let's cast that beam out of our own eye. And let's look at one another. Let's find out how can we help one another. Let's judge ourselves, first of all, so that we are ready and able at any time to help our fellow believers. And let's look at those around us and find out how we can help them. How we can help them wherever they are, in whatever situation they're in. Not in a judgmental way, but in a helpful, loving, generous, courteous, merciful way, saying, I've been there. I see what you're going through. Let me help you. And maybe we might receive the response of some that might not be very positive. It might take a time to wait until they are ready. But let us be faithful in helping one another and in judging in the right way. Let's pray.